Lile Lita. I'm sorry for the delay, as you know that we are in the boondocks, and so sometimes that happened. And so when that happens, we have to take it as nature, you know, dishes it out to us. We have a program this afternoon. We have an interview coming up with Ms. Caitlin McConnell of Center for Love and Hope organization located in North Adams, Massachusetts. And pretty soon we will have her on board. But in the meantime, let's get some update on Haiti. According to news from the Le Nouveliste, that the civil protection is unable to support hard-to-reach areas of Haiti. Since August 14 to 30th of this year, 2021, the human toll rises to more than 2,000 deaths and more than 10,000 injured and more than 200 missing. And you have over 30,000 houses were destroyed, while over 42,000 were damaged. For the entire department, around 73,000 families are affected, according to the words of Silvera Guillaume, the technical coordinator of civil protection for the South Department. For the same period, 19 health institutions were destroyed, while 40 were damaged. In terms of school infrastructure, the department lost 121, and 35 were public school, and 36 were private. And so they have some difficulty reaching out to those areas. Now, the Le Nouveliste and his editorial page talked to Emily Troutman to shed some light on the limits of international aid. An investigative journalist, she has followed Haiti in disaster management around the world for years. And so she inserted that in view of the local experiences since 2010 and the three major disasters to date. And so that a lot of people felt that the U.S., the international community, didn't do as much as they had expected. But again, you know, this time the focus is on reaching out directly to Haitians, nonprofit organizations that are on the ground doing things, and they are giving to individual groups instead of the large corporations and organizations. But still, because of the impact the earthquake has on the area, the area, because as you can see, look at here in New York City and New Orleans, you know, all those places demand attention. But someone said not too long ago in a piece that I was reading, he said that the difference between what Haiti is going through and what other countries are going through when it comes to the climate change is that in more developed countries, they have a system in place to help out, you know, the victims. But in Haiti, for whatever reason, they never get ready. So after every disaster, there's always an issue of what they're going to do next, who's going to help next. And so on the 3rd of September 2021, the Japanese ambassador accredited to Haiti, Mitsuaki Mizuno, participated in the heavy equipment handover ceremony for the benefit of the Ministry of Agriculture. The delivery batch, consisting of a drill and 22 tractors, will help fight food insecurity, which has been exacerbated, especially since August 14, by the terrible impacts of the earthquake. And so with this heavy machinery intended for road construction, bulldozer, excavator, trucks, mechanical shovel, etc., for the benefits of the Ministry of Public Works, will also be officially handed over soon. And so Japan is looking at the long-term development, the recovery period, and not just the immediate assistance that's needed to help Haitians recover from the disaster. Now, I remember from the previous disaster, there was a Foley, I have to repeat it because people tend to have short memory. There were Foley ambulances donated by Brazil. And what happened to those? They were dismantled. When they broke down, there was no one to fix them. There was no equipment. And I hope that those tractors that will be handed over to the Haitian Public Works, as they say, Ministry of Agriculture, that they have it. They have the Ministry of Public Works as well, to be prepared to have technicians who can use those things. And if they don't have, if they have any problems or anything, they have someone in Japan who can, as a contact person, to contact to let them know that they're having issues. And so not to sit on it and let it happen. And then one broke down, two broke down, three broke down, and then everything falls apart and no one seemed to know why, or no one seemed to have the knowledge on how to fix it. And so we see what's happening. Happens here, and I remember I had to have someone who lived in the basement apartment in New York City last year, and that was really something, a sight to see. And to find out that people died from renting apartments, basement apartments like that, you know, I can tell you that I come close to losing someone close to me from basement rentals. And so we see it. It's affecting all over the place. Everybody say, well, why Haiti? Why Haiti? Because Haiti is an island. And it's I don't say that God, since we said the earth is created by God, that God punished Haiti and put him in an island. So things can always happen to it. But as you can see, it's not just Haiti. It happens everywhere. And for this reason, let's start with this afternoon with the program Global Warming from Haiti, from Azuke Legba, our co-host here. And do you have something before I play the song? Okay, so let's listen to the Global Warming song by Azuke.
Carbon monoxide everywhere. We panic like we in Titanic. Let me know what you know. I don't know. Weapons of mass destruction, nuclear annihilation, migration extension. What we see? Tsunami, tornadoes, volcanoes. By now we should know global warming's knocking at my door. By now we should know global warming's knocking at your door.
It's not my imagination, even hallucination. It's our contribution to this tribulation. No time for finger pointing. The time for action is right now. Believers and all the rest. Oh, by now we should know. Global warming's knocking at my door. Oh, by now we should know.
Hello.
Global warming's knocking at my door.
Well, after this song that we're playing now, I will have you on if you want to wait or if you want me to call back. Okay, you can wait. Okay, thank you so much.
I said the superpowers, you got to get together. There is so much sickness. To save the
not my imagination, even hallucination, and peace, let work together. What you say and what you do, let's play hopper together in love for us forever. In the world, so much better. This I say to you. By now we should know. Global warming is knocking at my door. By now we should know. Door. We play one part as a human being to save the world for the love of the child. I play my part as a human being to save the world for the love of the child. Please play your part as a human.
Yes. Play your part for the love of the child, for the love of community, for the love of radio. WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra, New York. And we are live in Columbia County. And I would like to welcome Caitlin. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, because I've been having some difficulty here, let me tell you. Sometimes the best plan is not usually the best until Mother Nature put his two cents worth. I welcome you this afternoon to the Haitian cultural program Lile Litan on WGXC 90.7 FM and also online at WGXC.org. Mrs. Caitlin McConnell, can you tell us our listeners a little bit about you and your organization that focuses on Haiti?
Yes, so our organization is called the Center for Love and Hope, and I have my husband Shelly here as well. He's from Kishki, Haiti, where the area we serve, which is located in South Haiti. And we first served the community back in 2016 during Hurricane Matthew. And then we did relief work for about a year and a half before we transitioned into our longer-term projects, include a prenatal clinic, and we are looking at starting up. We're going to begin our first school with preschoolers this fall on October 4th.
I think I lost you. Hello?
Oh, sorry.
Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
And so we're looking at starting a preschool on October 4th to serve the community. And then, obviously, the recent earthquake has shifted our gears a little bit, and we're once again working on. Sorry, I've got Sunday afternoon, so I'm at home just a little. And we're working on earthquake disaster relief for the area that we serve.
Can you tell me, or can you tell us what area of Lekai that you have, that you serve?
Yep, so we are in a location called Pesto, and we specifically serve Dishti, which is a locality within that section, which is part of the Grand Anse.
Yes. And do you know how large is that population, how many people in the area?
Roughly in the section, there's roughly 127,000.
127,000.
Yeah.
And is it a remote area, or is how do you describe the area?
So it's pretty remote. It's about a 35-minute drive up into the mountains from Lakai, up Route 7. And there's no. It's a pretty rural mountainous area. No public electricity, no public water, and most people make their living by farming.
And what I wanted to ask you, the question that I, how does what's the impact for your organization in the area? the people and things?
Yeah, so the initial reports out were devastating. You know, because my husband's from there, we have family there as well. And so we were able to get pretty immediate communication and images coming out the day of the earthquake. And approximately 90 to 95% of homes were completely destroyed. Most of the larger community organization buildings sustained structural damage as well. So churches, other local schools in the area all sustained pretty significant damage. And then there was dramatic landslides, which greatly impacted the ability for the community to get in and out. So they still have no access to Jeremy, but the road has been opened enough that they can get access to Lakai, but there were major landslides, which also caused major loss of crops for the communities we serve.
The images that I have coming to me from the area, there is a river. There is the bridge over the river is completely destroyed, and there is a big caterpillar excavator was practically moving vehicles across the river because the vehicles were stuck in the water and they couldn't cross to go to the other side to deliver help. What do you think will be your difficulty that you will find, because other groups that are functioning in the area, that's the common report, that they have difficulty reaching those people. How do your people manage to, your organization manage to reach the people down there?
Yes, so we have staff in country, which is our biggest help, is that while we are based in the United States, we have staff on the ground in Haiti that are running our regular programs on a day-to-day basis. So we've had direct contact with our staff, who've been able to give us, you know, images from the community we serve and reach out to the families that are part of our center,
mm-hmm.
To find out their exact needs and situation. So the bridge that's totally destroyed is on the Jeremy side,
mm-hmm.
And there is a bridge that connects over the River Glass that connects us down to Lakai, which hasn't been totally destroyed. So we do have access in and out via road. The biggest issues we're having right now are because Lakai and Jeremy are the two biggest cities where typically we would resource from,
mm-hmm.
to bring things to the mountain. The only way to get resources in right now is either from Port-au-Prince or from outside of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And getting materials in from Port-au-Prince is no small feat. So we're actually getting ready. My husband Shelley is going to make a trip down on behalf of the organization at the end of September,
mm-hmm.
To assist with getting materials out from Port-au-Prince up into our area.
According to Le Nouveau List, there is a number of schools, private and public, that's been destroyed. Now, I'm sure that there will be effort made to rebuild those schools and the area. Now, do you think that rebuilding, you will be part of the school building in Haiti as well?
So, our main focus will be on like immediate disaster relief on a home front, meaning food and shelter for the people in the communities we serve,
mm-hmm.
But also on the programs we already had in place and building those up so that we're better able to meet the increased demands because of the earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
So beefing up our prenatal center to make sure that our nurse has all the stocks and all the materials she needs, making sure we've got prenatals in country,
mm-hmm.
for to meet as the women are suffering from lack of access to the regular nutrition they're used to. And then also because we were already preparing to open our school in September, the date has now been pushed back to October 4th for the whole area based on because of the damage from the earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
So we will focus on making sure that our school is up and ready to serve the community at large, which it appears it should be. But we're also focusing on, as there might be an increased demand in the future, our plan was always to grow our school starting next year. And so we'll look at rebuilding sooner so that if there's a need for increased student capacity, we can meet that need.
So give me an overview of your program in Haiti. You talk about school, you talk about healthcare. What exactly? Because I have an organization that was interviewed last week called Capua Care, that's on the ground as well in the CAI, that's raising money and doing things to support their group, because what they do, they train community workers to address the needs of the community and groups that are in need of healthcare, precisely the health issues. Now, this group is in the healthcare, and then you two providing services in the healthcare industry, or you offer health program in addition to the school. Now, if somebody needs to help you or to make a donation, what should they do?
Yeah, they can visit our website at thecenterforloveandhope.org and make a donation. We have a earthquake relief tab directly on our front homepage. Or if they are interested in supporting any of our programs on an ongoing basis and making monthly payments, they could go through the PayPal link at the top of our website.
Mm-hmm. And also, do you have information if they want to mail something directly to you, or if they have all that information is on the website?
It is on the website, but I can tell you now too, they can just go ahead and mail a check to the Center for Love and Hope, and that's at 50 and a half William Street, North Adams, Massachusetts 01247, but that is on the website as well.
And the phone number to contact you
is 617-838-8320.
And you are in Massachusetts in North Adams. And I hope that people who are listeners and those who want to support Center for Love and Hope may be able to make a donation through this organization. Right now, how many people actually in your program that you... that are in need that you are reaching out to? Because we have the immediate assistance, emergency assistance, and of course we have the long-term recovery period. So whatever is donated now, it would be for the long-term, or you want something to send directly to Haitians in your area, in Haiti, in the area that you serve?
Right now, our main goal, so for our upcoming trip, we're looking at doing 4 distributions of food for immediate crisis relief. So food for a week for a family, and we're looking to do at minimum 300, but the more money we can take in, the larger, you know, the more families we'd be able to serve with that. And the hope in doing the 4 different localities is that we can reach some more rural areas that haven't been received any assistance from the government or outside aid yet. We're also looking at long-term ongoing projects, which include the construction of our school and looking at long-term like housing solutions for the community. So whether that's assisting families with cement or roofing materials. And so the first donations received will go towards costs for that food distribution and a special clinic with our nurse on this upcoming trip. And then funds received after that will go towards ongoing projects and recovery.
Now, well, as you said about rebuilding and cement and blocks and things like that, I would like to share something with you about rebuilding. And right now, I remember that the governor, the mayor of New York City, after the Ida disaster, reminded New Yorkers and Americans that it's time that they rebuilt differently because of what can happen. As you can see, the impact of the weather on homes all over the country is a cause for rethinking the building that we built. Now, for Haiti, I always like to mention this because that's what I have done, using natural building. You know, people use earth bags that use other materials found locally in Haiti to build a home. And then another thing that's important, and I found that also from Red Cross, it's those hurricane bracket that people should put under those tin metal roof that they put over those houses. Would you consider that part of your offering to the people to help them realize that it's better to rebuild differently, that we limit the damage that they suffer during the hurricane, because we live in an island, those things will happen. And so do you have any plan to help them rebuilding in a different way, or you want to help them get the resources that they need just to rebuild?
So we would love to encourage people to build differently. We were fortunate enough because we built our organizational pieces after Hurricane Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to build in a way that allowed our buildings to both sustain, you know, future hurricanes, but they also allowed us to sustain no damage from on our actual residency from the earthquake. So we would love to work with people on how to build back in a way that will prevent future loss, because for many of the families we serve, this will be the second time in 5 years that their home has been completely destroyed by a natural disaster. So obviously looking at ways to build back, you know, we have a campaign we're looking at launching called Build Back Better.
Yeah, because what happened is it's not just using the slogan, but to actually do it. The one that I built is in the town of Colleen in Leogan, the epicenter of the first earthquake. And what I did, I look on the natural building website with Geiger. I think he's the main person in charge of that website. And we collected empty rice bags from the marketplace. And then we used some of the dirt from the excavation of the soil. And we filled out those bags, and then we hire local people who are familiar with construction to build it. And then we have a workshop to teach them how we want that house to be built. This was a simple plan, nothing fancy, but the concept was to teach them the material used, the equipment used, and how to lay the bags, just like you lay cinder blocks, but instead of using cinder blocks, you use those sandbags. We see, you know, during hurricane how they use sandbags to prevent flooding. And then that's what we did, to teach people how to build better. Not everyone pick up that concept because a lot of people, they rely on those imported cement, which will take a lot to rebuild, because you have to make the cinder blocks with cement, and they use those river sand, but they use gravel and things like that to build. So I would love to work with you to encourage that type of construction in your area, if you are open to that.
Absolutely. We would love to learn more about it.
And then I would like to, we can discuss this a little further to see what how we can be of assistance in the reconstruction, because it can't keep happening.
Yes, and that's, I think, where we're at, is looking forward, you know, how do we, just this is, you know, a major breakthrough for us. I'd heard of earth bags before, but I didn't know they were being used in Haiti, so I'd love to learn more about it so that we could bring the program to our community, because, like you said, unfortunately, being on an island, the next natural disaster is a given.
Yeah.
You don't know when, you know it's coming.
It's coming, because we have Matthew. Everybody talk about Matthew. Now we have Ida, and we have earthquakes. We have, before Ida, there was another one, I believe, that was Henry, and all those different ones that affected Haiti. So
yes,
we are aware of the damage that can cause. So now, how can we help people to better prepare, to better rebuild what they have, and to prepare for the next disaster?
Absolutely. We would love to learn more about that and to look into bringing that to our community.
Mm-hmm. And so I have your contact, and I'm sure that you have my contact, and we will talk a little bit more. But if you want to remind our listeners about the Center for Love and Hope and the information again, if they want to make a donation to support your program in Haiti.
Yes, so our website is thecenterforloveandhope.org, and you can make donations or learn more about our upcoming projects. We're also on Facebook. That has our most current feeds. So the most current day-to-day happenings, if you look for the Center for Love and Hope on Facebook. And then our phone number, if somebody has further questions, is 617-838-8320.
8320. Yes. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Ms. Caitlin McConnell, for joining us. And I hope that you can join us here again. And you know, WGXE, this is a program that's on Haiti, Haiti culture, and news from Haiti and updates. So if you have anything you want to share with our listeners, you are welcome to join us again.
Oh, excellent. That would be wonderful. We'd love to do an update after our trip and let you know how it is after we have staff, you know, on the ground in country to give us
Now, do you have any events coming up in your area for fundraising or anything?
We don't. With COVID, we've been, we've realized that people are a little bit hesitant about in-person
gatherings. Yep.
So that's, we're looking at a new online fundraising campaign for our Build It Back Better. To help us with our future long-term relief projects for the community, which is, they can find all the details of that on the website. In about a week, it's going to launch.
So just let us know when you have an event schedule so we can promote it here, and we can help you reach out to the community, people who can be of service to you as well.
Thank you so much. That's
thank
so
you. All right. And come again.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yes, and so this was Caitlin McConnell of Center for Love and Hope that working in Haiti. Before we go to the turning point and to our historical event, let's have a song by Mario Chandel. He has, what's his name of the song? Thea, the earth.
Jodi a la fin souffrir, parce que nous fait tête di devant loi la nature. Mon Dieu mette en pile sagesse pour te créer une vie terrestre avec en pile belle merveille. Aux animaux te vivant en haut.
Et à le jour en jour pour aller, et à le jour en jour pour aller.
Le sixième jour avant d'y reposer, sous l'hygiénèse, pas quoi qu'elle va poser. Et les hommes à son image, c'est vrai. D'après la Bible, l'homme c'est si bon Dieu. Si l'homme pour l'homme, c'est un enfer. Pour les animaux, l'homme vigne au malheur. Pour la nature, l'homme sont dévastés. C'est tout pas tout l'homme non mal fait en haut.
Et à le jour un jour pour aller. Et à le jour un jour pour aller.
Non volant
le jour un jour la calé. Volant le jour un jour
la
calé.
Yeah.
Yes, how can you build in the middle of a river? How can you build and throw trash in the middle of the water stream? You will pay that. You pay for it. And so that's what this song is all about, the earth. If you're not built within code, if you throw garbage all over the place, if you're not paying attention to the things that you do, nature will make you pay for it. And that's what this song said. Will na payesa. We will pay for it. That's what it is. Right now, let's give. You have.
Yes. Haïti, Mexique. Interception musclée des migrants, des dizaines d'Haïtiens arrêtés. La semaine écoulée, la Garde nationale et l'Institut national des migrations ont tenté de contenir le passage d'une nouvelle caravane de migrants sur l'autoroute Iretan entre les municipalités de Ixhetan et Tuzatan, Chiapas, Mexico. Yes. Nouvelles conditions pour obtenir un visa permis de travail pour les étudiants. L'ambassade d'Haïti à Washington, D.C. rappelle que le département des États-Unis pour la sécurité intérieure a suspendu certaines exigences réglementaires concernant les étudiants haïtiens détenteurs d'un visa F1 de non-immigrants. Yes. Espère la coopération académique et scientifique se concrétiser. La coopération académique et scientifique entre Haïti et l'Espagne se concrétise davantage avec l'arrivée bientôt au royaume d'une douzaine d'étudiants et de professeurs haïtiens pour l'année académique 2020 et 2021. Et ensuite, Haïti a gagné face à Qatar. Jordan, Haïti a battu le Jordan 2-0. Oui. For the historical event. For the historical event, we have September 1st, 1793. The first British soldiers came at shore at Saint-Domingue. September 1st, 2007, a U.S. Navy hospital ship conferred broad state-of-the-art medical care to Haiti during a regional goodwill mission aimed at countering distinct Venezuela President Hugo Chavez. Et September 10, 2008, tropical storm Anna drenched flood plague Haiti, adding to the misery of the country that has lost more than 100 lives to mudslides and flooding since mid-August.
So you see, this is a problem that we have. every August, you know, September, we always have those tropical storms that's destroyed lives and property. So they have to do something. And also they have one in September.
September 4, 2008, tropical storm Anna worried along the edge of the Bahamas ahead of possibility hurricane hit on the Carolina, leaving behind at least 137 dead and Haiti. September 4, 2011, Haitian President Michel Martelly vigorously condemned an alleged sexual assault by UN troops against an 18-year-old man. The incident aggravated mistrust between Haiti and the peacekeeping mission. The UN was investigating allegations that five Uruguayan naval personnel at the UN base in the South sexually molested an 18-year-old man. An attack reportedly captured by cell phone camera. Yeah, for the history, mais ça nous a gagné en mois septembre. En 1793, premier soldat anglais, monsieur était débarqué dans la cour Saint-Domingue, qui c'était Haïti, et pour ça c'était Saint-Domingue. En 2007, 1er septembre 2007, te gon bateau américain, c'était un bateau médical américain qui voyageait à travers un pile pays, missionniste aider moun, c'est un bateau médical lui-même qui gagne un pile bagage à bois, li passé pour te venir aider nous, mais en l'étape contrecarré et président Hugo Chavez Venezuela. Le 3 septembre 2008, et cyclone qui était le Anna, l'été dévasté Haïti, l'été créé, l'été détruit sans monde, et puis t'es gain terre qui était descendant dans de l'eau, t'es gain flood, t'es gain toute bac inondation, tout genre de ça. Et le 4 septembre 2008, cyclone Anna encore, il était penché Boson Bahamas, il était une possibilité pour le toucher North Carolina, et puis 137 moun té mouri en Haïti. Le 4 septembre 2011, président qui était Michel Martelly, monsieur était condamné en activité sexuelle on est soldat United Nations yo Nations Unies t'es fait en Haïti bagala t'es venu aggravé between haïtien à pis avec moun l'ONU yo l'ONU a mené investigation yo joine te gen 5 moun qui sorti dans pays l'Uruguay qui yo t'es fait un attaque sexuelle sur un petit garçon 18 ans, yo te récupéré bagale, yo te filmé bagale nan téléphone. C'est ça nous te gagné pour moi ça.
Yes, and so we have made the turning point of our program this afternoon. And so we thank you for joining us and to share with us share your afternoon with WGXC 90.7 FM. I'm Colleen Murphy, your co-host, and we are in the turning point of our program.
Bonsoir, c'est Azuke, comment nous y est?
C'est quoi à côté, comment nous y est? Nous y est, nous là. But you know, this is, a lot of people are asking me, especially right now, they said that, what can Haiti expect from international aid? Le Nouvelliste has posted an article on this issue that I would like to share with our listeners before we are able to get Dr. Sfinolia on the phone, if she can make it, is that you know, after the earthquake of 2010, a lot of people have made efforts to help Haiti and to help the recovery and so on. But then in this piece with Troutman, there is was involved in following Haiti on disaster management and so on. She has a piece here that I would like to share with our listeners. Said, what can Haiti expect from international aid? In view of the local experiences since 2010 and in our three major disasters to date, the earthquake of January 12, 2010, the passage of the over the south of Hurricane Force 5, Matthew, and the recent earthquake of August 14, 2021, we can answer briefly, not great thing. But the response will be too quick. What we have not understood in Haiti is that emergency aid has nothing to do with reconstruction or recovery. And I'm sharing this because myself, as I said, from the time that the earthquake happened in Haiti, you know, there were a lot of people who were washing and getting things to those people in emergency aid. They are frustrating themselves to reach those who are in need. And one of the things that I remember we learned in my experiences is that even from what I've learned from, not just from experience, but what I've read from those rescuers, the first responders in any emergency, those people have to make sure they themselves can are not in danger before they can reach out to someone else to help. Now, of course, a lot of people are on the ground. They are very emotional. They are going through a lot of stress and things like that. So they want emergency aid immediately. And what people don't seem to realize, what you give people temporarily to hold them, you know, until long-term recovery can take place is different from the reconstruction and recovery aid that needs to be raised, fund that needs to be raised for this part. He said that apart from the means that the country does not have, such as teams of specialized rescuers, boats, helicopters, and planes for rapid transport, we could have done without minimizing the invaluable contribution of volunteers and friendly countries. So a lot of people are talking about, oh, don't give people money, look what... But how do you think that they will spend money to bring those rapid transport boat rescuers and all that? You know, people are leaving their homes, leaving their families behind, you know, to collect things and then to bring them overseas to an area most of them are not familiar with when it was possible. And then now it's in the disaster zone, then they have to, you know, to come to rescue. So
the problem is even the people want to help Haiti, the Haitian politicians make things difficult for them. Because you see what they said?
Yeah.
There is no team.
Specialized rescuers.
There is no team, no boat, no helicopter.
No plane.
Because
yeah,
they have to buy those things. They stole the money.
Yeah. So that means
you don't
in
want
any
me to
wish
say
way.
That, but no, that's why it is.
No, I it's not that I don't want you to say that, because in fact it is. What happened is, I remember that a lot of Haitians were talking about not to give money to Red Cross, not to give money to international organizations because they stole the money. But when you look at the kind of efforts that were made to get to Haitians under after the earthquake of 2010, you know, those people, they weren't ready for these things, you know, to travel to Haiti to help. Now suddenly there is a disaster and everybody is looking for the international community to help.
But the problem is when the international community go down there, they don't find any support. They don't find a team to work with. They by themselves.
Now the article on Le Nouvelliste said a normal country must be able to offer water, yes, and hot meals, a blanket, a tarpaulin, temporary shelters to its affected population. When it is not the capital that is struck, Haitian medical teams are able to treat the population of other departments, and this has been proven in the Great South. the lack of coordination mechanism and emergency drug stocks. But this is being built up, maintained, and deployed. So that's those are the kind of every disaster Haiti learns something, or any population will learn something. What was done well and what needs to be improved. And by mentioning coordination mechanism and an emergency, it's something that after what hurricane after hurricane, nobody seems to put those things in place. Now, in every area, there should be a large building able to house those people who are more likely emergency. To be victims from an emergency. Okay, there must be in every vicinity, in every district, either a school, either a church, either a center, a community center where people can go to, where they will have supplies store there that they can go, even if they can't stay into their own homes to weather the storm, at least they would be able to go. So if we were a normal country, the article went on to say, with each disaster, we should have been with our checklist to say what we are missing and make specific requests, opening our arms to all corners to all comers as Haiti does every time is unworthy. Because our leaders are irresponsible, each problem finds us weaker. Haiti always reaches out. The country, aware of its vulnerabilities, had to prepare a little better for the worst every year. This is unfortunately not the case. And to come back to emergency aid, humanitarian aid, it can only help us in the first hours and then withdraw. And that's what the Haitians have to learn, and people have to emphasize when they are talking to Haitians who are in need. Someone can come to help you out now, but what they give you is not going to be permanent, is not going to be long-term, because that's what they can give you to hold you until things more sustainable can arrive. What the people think that what was done to cover their immediate need, they were supposed to get them permanently. You know, just like homes, a lot of, those USAID, tarps, a lot of tents, a lot of temporary houses built with plywood and things like that that's collecting insects. I remember that I saw a home where it was loaded with ants because the things, now after a few rain, the plywood was being eaten by ants. So it wasn't permanent, but those people, they were so emotional, they were so shocked to see how Haiti was after the earthquake. Everybody wants to wash in and then give a hand. And then at the end, they were not well received because people assumed that those people have money. You yourself, okay, you went to Haiti with a list of equipment and things people should have in their homes. And you distributed that list to communities that you know people. And you give them the list that says you have to have a flashlight, they have to have batteries, they have to have water, they have to buy even a light, lighters and things like that. So whenever that they hear something is happening, at least they will know, even if they can't afford it, because people don't keep things around their houses for emergencies. If they have their light, they will use it. If they have some kind of water, they will drink it, because they don't know when they will have their...
Yeah, because if you don't have... If the authorities, they're not responsible for explain to people, because... Couple of years ago, I was in Haiti. I was at the Dollar Trees, mm-hmm. and I bought a couple of things, and I have the small flyers. Said when they said you're gonna have a hurricane, you know, mm-hmm. things like that. This is what you have to do: get some flashlight, get water, get matches, get.
We need batteries.
They don't care. They don't
have flashlight and things like
that. I sit with lady people. They don't care.
No, because they don't see how they can meet that.
Because
that
the request. Person is responsible for educate them. They're not doing the job.
Well, in addition to that, what I will suggest, okay, on the show, we give a lot of suggestions, and sometimes I see them, someone somewhere heard them and then pass it along. And I'm happy to hear that. But what happened is, I think that the Haitian government organization in those areas, they serve. They should at least, and we did that the last time we went with the Girl Scouts from Philmont. They bought a bag that people can keep in their homes,
yes.
That have bandages, they have gloves, they have things that they can use when the person passed out on a heat exhaustion. So I think that's what the government should do. Prepare a kit, just like you give people food. Just either put those kits in an area where with the Kazakh, you know, the people on the local level who's in charge of an area. You ask the Kazakh, he's in charge of this area, for instance, in the Colleen. Okay, the Kazakh, how many people live in that area, families? How many homes that you are representing as a Kazakh? And then find out, okay, for this home, we need 100 kits, or we need 200 kits. This is for 200 homes. Keep them in a place in the Kazakh area. At the Kazakh's home. Those things that not for the Kazakh to use, but to distribute in case of an emergency. Now, when things are getting harder, it's not something that the people can handle themselves, then you move them. The Kazakh again will come and ask the people to move. And then they have a load. Those fishermen with boats, they can use their boat to help move people out of areas. If you have a truck, use the truck to transport people to the safe areas where the government has a building available. If it's a large school, a large center for sports or anything like that, that can bring people who have homes that are not safe, then they can move them. So that's the kind of, because I can tell you, the international community is going through hell. And I said going through hell, when you come, we are battling a pandemic, and we're still not safe from hurricane, from flood, from fire. So reaching overseas is not going to be easy. So what I'm asking those responsible is to help Haiti set those things. Don't just give them the money, because the money will have all kind of issues to deal with. But if you bring, just like Japan donated 22 tractors, okay, just prepare the kits. And if I could, I will do that. Prepare the kits of emergency kits that you have in the home, and then go there. In my house, at that house that I built, what I do, I have gloves, I have bandages, I have antibiotics, and I have things that I can give people when I'm into the area. You know, when the kids have a wound or something like that, they come to me. They know that in this house, if they have something, the local community can get help. And I think that's what the Kazakh should be. It's not just to be a government, you know, collecting money or be the chef in the area. It's a home where the people in the community can rely on for emergencies.
Why you build your house like that in Haiti? Because you've been living in the United States. You've been educate yourself, you know exactly what to do. My question about, if you doing something for 200, 10, 15, 20 years, it doesn't work. That means you cannot do it. It's not your job. It's not your area. My point is the diaspora supposed to take over. When I said that, I know there's like the people in Haiti today, they're capable to do things, but they're like in minority. But the diaspora, we have a lot of people in diaspora. They go to school here, they well-educated, and they're not going to come down there to stealing the money, because they know certain things, they cannot do certain things.
Yeah, well, you're talking about the diaspora. Now, there was a meeting that happened, you know, last week, and people want to set the rules of what's going to happen, the recovery and all. Everybody comes with their own ideas. That's the problem.
No, we don't have, we need one idea. Well, the idea is to fix Haiti.
Well, how? Because everybody has a different way on how to fix it.
No, that's the problem.
That's the problem. We don't need different so many, ways. So many people, they focus, you know, you have to realize the people, their focus was on the politics, not on social services.
That's the problem.
And then pulling them, their minds out of that political class is difficult. They used to do things a certain way, and that's the way they know how to do it.
Yes.
We have to come up with a new way and say, well, let's put the election. By now, we have 10 sitting duck senators. They're not doing anything. Their time will expire. Let it expire. And then right now, in fact, school was supposed to open tomorrow. It will not be open. Because of what's happened. Now, you have elections. The election just move up to November 7, which may not happen. Now, instead of looking at who's going to take the next, who's going to be the next president, or so you can have an election, and then you can start the same thing all over again, is to take that as a break to plan an election that includes the prime minister, the president, all the ministers, all the senators, all the deputies, okay? Once and for all. So you have a team in place that comes with the resources, with the manpower to install a different way of doing things in that country, because the world cannot tolerate Haiti as it is anymore, okay? We all have to pitch in to do something. I'm using my platform to share with everyone who's listening that talk to your group, let them know there is a better way of doing things, because I cannot run out to help you every time you are in a disaster. So you have to be able to respond to a disaster on your own before help can come. And the way help will come, I have to make sure that I'm safe. Right now, why I'm not in the hurry to run there? Because I will not be safe. And I can't put myself in danger to save someone else, and that person will not be able to help me when I'm in danger. So the people have to start the thinking process. They have to re-educate the population. And that's what I was reading that article, because it said that we then enter into recovery or reconstruction. Here again, a normal country closes an enclave and decides on its needs. And that's what Haiti needs to do. He assesses the damage, learns the lessons, and rolls up his sleeves. Scenarios can even be prepared in advance. So when you have something like that, you can't look elsewhere all the time. We can't. Well, get it.
Like you
okay.
said, they focus more in the politics, you know.
Well, that's what
because
it is.
Because that's why they make money. Because what in the situation now, what Haiti need now, it's the first help.
Yeah.
You know?
And this first help, the international community
build,
had done it.
Don't build anything.
No. It just
let
give the people temporary.
Let a group of engineers know exactly what type of houses we have to build down there, and they're going to decide. Don't go build things, build.
Yeah, they're rushing to recovery.
No.
Oh, we need school, we need this, we need that. Okay, we think we need everything.
Yeah,
we
need
do need everything.
To study
but let's find
plan.
Out. Yeah, let's find out. So that song with Mario Chandel said that. The way you're built, they have to respect the building codes. Yeah. People build, you know, one on top of the other. They use materials that they're not thinking about.
They don't know.
Well, they don't know, but they don't know how the humility to know what they don't know.
No, but there's people, they're supposed to teach them how to do things.
Well, that's what it is. We have to teach, but they have to have the humility and the desire to learn what they don't know. Because I went there and I'm telling you what.
Let's teach them first. We're going to see if they don't have desire to learn.
Well, but in any case, what we would like to do is to
show them what to do.
Well, the information is all over the place, okay, on the internet. So they don't have to be on Facebook.
79% of the Asians doesn't go on internet.
No. A lot of them. With the phone, with the WhatsApp, people are posting, exchanging videos on WhatsApp. You know, you can be in Haiti, you send a video to someone, and then they forward it to millions of people all over the country. So they know. They know.
They don't know.
Okay. But anyway, we can forgive them, those who don't know. What I'm saying is we need to make sure that those people realize you can't keep buying imported cement. You can't keep breaking down the mountains to get the sand that they use in the mountain for construction to mix with the cement, because it doesn't work. And those people were stealing. If you're not there to supervise your construction, they will steal the materials and then put less material in there that put your home in danger, and it's at risk. I saw it. I put Foley hurricane bracket in the home. When I come back, I found 9. What happened to the West? I don't know. Nobody will answer that question. So if you're not there, you're building, you're sending money to build things, people will cut corners on your construction, and then disaster. And so all these things, we have to be honest about them, to be aware where the weaknesses are and where the strengths are. And so we learn to build a country that moves forward for his children, for his grandchildren, and for those who want to come along and then enjoy the island with us. you know, and to be part of it. Because right now, with what's going on in Haiti, is not.
But why we don't? Why we don't hire like a professional, like engineer, know exactly what to do?
Well, it's,
why?
No, instead of no, what happened is in Haiti, people built houses based on their own little
resource.
Understand?
I know,
okay?
But
people,
why?
That's why it takes.
Why we don't hire a professional to teach us what to do?
Well, Haiti don't build houses for people. Everyone is building on their own. And that's the problem. And then if you have a building code, that means you will build. I saw Food for the Poor building a little village in Wan Leogan. The house built. They have a little garden area. But there is no place to dump the trash. The whole village is covered with trash. No, there is no one managing this. And then the water, there is a fountain, there is a well water. But then when you look at, there is no way people can do anything. When I drove to it, the thing is covered with garbage. I said, well, how can you build, you don't put something in place to handle this part? So what Haiti needs to do is to get contract, is to have a contract with people who are building sustainably.
Yeah.
And at the same time, to build those houses that the population will be able to live in, instead of
like
leaving them, instead of leaving it up to them to build based on their own. Because it takes people years to build a home. The first thing they do, if they can put four blocks, four walls, and then they could put a top over it, then that's the home. And before you know it, the next time they have some money, they cover a part of it. The next time they have some money, they put a little more cement over it. So that's why the constructions are bound to be damaged whenever there is bad weather. So Haiti, with all the money that's coming to Haiti from the international community, with all the resources that being poured into Haiti right now, I will suggest that they take into their own hands the building of houses for low-income people in Haiti. Because even though you've heard the earthquake happened in 2010, there was a house built in the Zoanje, in the area built by the Aristide government. Those houses were still there. They were three or four stories high. Those houses were still there. So that means they can be built. And instead of leaving it up to the people. But the problem that I have with this theory is how the people are going to pay for it. Because they don't have a steady income. If the government say, okay, I give you this home for the next 6 months, you can have $20 a month. But that's not guaranteed if the people don't have a means of earning those $20.
What do you mean?
No, that's why they build it the way they build it, because they don't have a steady flow of income to pay
but
their homes.
With those people, I see people, they're calling like poor people, they build house for $200,000.
No, that's not the poor people that I'm talking about.
That's
in
Cité
Soleil.
About Cité Soleil,
no.
There's like a big house.
Yeah, they have big houses. Those are private homes.
Those
are private homes.
All of the homes, they're private.
Yeah.
It's not. Each of them, they build their own house. Every time they put $50, they put $200, they put another door. You realize it's $200,000.
Yeah.
They complain about the. They don't have
so
money.
I hope that, but as I'm reading this, there is a big effort being made right now. According to ECIT, they have posted an article on the 5th of September. They said the largest professional center in the Caribbean at the cutting edge of technology, meeting international standards, a project deal to President Jovenel Moïse, who was assassinated on July 7, 2021, which he was to inaugurate in a few months. You see the kind of construction that he stood for. It was admiration. Southerners who have decided to do him justice. To honor the memory of President Jovenel Moïse, who was to inaugurate a few months, the largest professional center, proposed the name the Professional Training Complex, Jovenel Moïse Professional Center. Now, an initiative welcomed by the Secretary of State for Training, Maggie Duce, okay, Secretary of State for Training, Maggie Duce, who wishes to join Marie-Lucie Joseph, the Minister of National Education and Vocational Training, and Dikel Delvariste, the Director General of the National Training Institute Professional, or INFP, to materialize this initiative. The following the laying of the first stone on August 2017, there was the vast state-of-the-art complex fully funded by Brazil to the tune of $17 million and provisionally baptized Brasilia Tech, built on 15 acres of land, will be the largest training center in the region, Caribbean Community, or CARICOM. The construction time was estimated between 3 and 5 years. 2017, that was Brazil donation to Haiti. Okay, training center. So this is the kind of things that you will be happy to start people, to give the training on learning how to build and the standard and the building codes that have to be honored. You know, not because you have the land, you have to build houses, build, you know, one on top of the other so you can rent more people and rent more, you know, collect more money and so on. That's what happened. That's why people don't have land. Instead of building a little garden to grow their food and to do things, they build another homes. So you can be in your house and you hear what's going on through your window to someone else's home. So they had to stop that. He will welcome 3,000 students in 5 fields: textile, civil construction, mechanics, electromechanics, information and communication technology, and a choice of 30 professions. Professional skills will be validated by 4 levels of certification: Attestation of Professional Aptitude, or AAP, Professional Aptitude Certificate, or CAP, Professional Aptitude Certificate, BAP, and Executive Technician Diploma. However, we do not have an official post-earthquake assessment of this important complex under construction, allowing us to know to what extent the anti-seismic building have been affected. So you see, the level that Brazil built something in Haiti, they took into consideration that the impact. So that's why that the Haitians had to take even on the level. I did something in that area. The last time I went there, and I see people still posting up cinder blocks all over the place. You know, those heavy wire, and people encourage them. Because that's where they make their money and that's what they know how to build. Those people, when I started that construction, they told me, oh, you have to for couler béton sous tête kaila, for faire this. I said, no, I'm not building the way you know. Okay, I come with a plan and I come with a project. You follow me because I will tell you what I need done. So I don't want your suggestions. I don't want your ways of doing things the way you know how, because it doesn't work. So open your mind to listen to what I'm suggesting, that this way I want it done. And I can tell you, it's too expensive, getting the blocks, because that's how they make their money. The guy next door is selling cement and they have a quincaillerie store and everybody's buying from them, and so they don't want anything to happen beyond that. But anyway, this is what we have here, and hopefully that the Haitians will take that into consideration when they are rebuilding, and to know, to have the patience and the humility to know what you don't know. Because if you don't know what you don't know, you're more likely to open your mind to learn what needs to be learned. Because how can you make an impact in places where you need to make it if you don't know, if you don't learn all there is to learn? That's the way to do it. Now let's listen to Ram Jacomel. This is another one that I like. And from Jacomel, you know, Jacomel is I don't know how the group in Ram made it out during the hurricane in Haiti, but since it was practically in the province and the area, but I'm sure that they're doing much better than most people will. But I pray for their strength, because they are a major group in Haiti that is doing what they could for the culture. Now let's listen to Jacomel and from Wham. Jacomel, so that's what they have. Munizaka na point justice. Let's listen to Jacomel. Thank you. WGXC 90.7 FM and online WGXC.org. Dile li tan to make the turning point. Yes, as I was saying, there is an article on the Haitian Times that I have a chance to share with you before the final of our afternoon. If we don't finish it, we maybe have a time next time. So let's see what they say about this. If I can get the audio to work. So let me see, can the audio work? Because sometimes I don't have all my marbles together here with this technology thing. But for some reason it's not going. Let's see. Hello, hello, this guy, oh, well, okay. Now, I wanted to play this sound for you, but it's not going, so I have to read it. The article is about surviving to heal. So it's talking about a family that has experienced multiple problems and how they quickly move on to the next activities of rebuilding quickly without taking into consideration what they have experienced. The article from Haitian Times said that many Haitians are forced to quickly turn the page after major crisis. Survival over wide emotional shock. They are not going to have time. They are not going to think emotional wellness at this point. It's not addressed because they don't have the opportunity to address it, so it gets buried. More rural areas of Haiti were hit hardest by the recent earthquake, which killed over 2,000 people. Many people were left without shelter and had limited access to food, clean drinking water, and medical help for those severely injured. But current problems in Haiti, like shaky leadership after the recent assassination of the country's president, left many people with no direction on what to do next. That's what I said. You know, when you wash into it, that's the emotional response. They kill a president, but not knowing what they're going to do after. They killed, they asked for a coup d'etat, but they don't know who's going to replace the president after the coup d'etat. So people act too much on emotions. They rush into doing things, and then they deal with the aftermath after. With no information coming in, the article went on to say, many people, like the people that they interviewed for the article, took to social media or tried calling family and friends to find help on their own. Having access to basic needs like food and water lessened the emotional traumas after these types of disasters. According to Betty Jean, a licensed professional counselor and global mental health and trauma consultant, you know, in this program here, we had there was a Rachel Pierre that from Albany that who came to our program sometimes 2 weeks, 2 years ago, I believe, before this happened. We have that conversation with her, and so with this article, they are trying to offer us a view, a little glimpse of what happened in there. He said that when there is a crisis like an earthquake, the number one thing people need is a sense of safety, and that are entities that are concerned about their overall well-being, said Jean, who is Haitian. The emotional and mental support that we have to provide to people begins first with attending to those primary needs. But that's not always possible in Haiti, mostly due to poor infrastructure. Caleb Lucien, the founder of Ocean International Ministries. For example, the earthquake took place in the south of Haiti. There has been some gang violence blocking passage from Port-au-Prince, the capital, to the south. Because of the gang fighting, it has been difficult to take the risk of traveling by road. So airplanes from the capital city have been trying to get supplies there. Haitians are usually applauded for their inner strength to keep pushing amid crisis. They call it resilience. All the Haitians are so resilient. But it's important to understand that there is often grief behind their resiliency. Sometimes they struggle with that word when someone said resilient. Oh, they are stoic. They can do things. But you don't know the pain that those people are. Because I remember as a child, my grandmother used to say to me, even if you are hungry, don't show it. Don't let it show in your face. You have to wash your face, put a little powder on, and then hit the street or wherever you're going. You don't have to broadcast your hunger to the world because the neighbors don't have to know that you don't have food today or anything like that. So because of that, Haitians grew up to mask their pain well. And so in this one here, in this article here, the author said that when I say resilience, I mean they will survive, but we are talking about a traumatized people. Definitely believe the people of Haiti are a people to have PTSD. The Haitian people have not yet fully healed from the first earthquake, and so he doesn't think that there was time, and many Haitians are suffering silently right now. The trauma shows itself in various ways, says Wilfred Maus, the entrepreneur and founder of the Haitian Chamber of Commerce in Great Britain. I went traveling in Europe with some colleagues of mine to attend some conferences, and one of them, who is Haitian, refused to sleep in a building because he believed it was too high. He still had this fear of the earthquake. Children are often most affected, and they don't know what to do with that. Their parents are not there necessarily to give them the emotional support that they need because they are just trying to survive when things like this happen. So a lot of things don't get addressed and they are thought early on to move on. Keep calm. That's what they did. So OCN International Ministry evacuated 1,500 people after the earthquake in 2010 and 750 of them were kids. The group stayed on the charity's campground, and children had the chance to continue their education through its school system. So, but keep in mind that symptoms like depression, sleeplessness, would be common for most people going through mental health crisis, such as major natural disasters or war, says Guglielmo Shishma, the head of mental health and psychological support at the International Organization for Migration, or IMOMI, as they call it, OIM. So it's important not to jump to conclusion with diagnosis for mental illness or disorders. Suffering exists, and suffering is not a mental disorder and shouldn't be treated as such. In other situations, psychological effects like these could be symptoms of mental disorders. But in this situation, these are just normal reaction. Now, how can you call this, well, you call it normal reaction to trauma. But I was watching Naomi Osaka's tennis match with that Canadian 18-year-old. It was, at the end, I had to go because I couldn't watch her falling apart like that. You know, she's of... She shared Haitian heritage, so a lot of Haitians in the diaspora, Haitian American, was rooting for Naomi. But I can see the reason that she claimed, you know, that she has issues after the games, because as you can see that when she doesn't have, she can handle pressure, and she feels so pressured to play the game. And she said it in the last interview she had that. She can't seem to enjoy the game like she used to before. In fact, in her words, she said that she cannot enjoy it. But as you know, that children in a way will have a fun time playing any sport that their parents encourage them to play. But when that game is no longer fun, they could no longer enjoy themselves, then the game become traumatized. They will no longer feel the joy of it, and then they give up. And that's what I saw when I was watching Naomi play. She practically, once she lost control of herself, her emotion, she was no longer able to pick herself up and continue the game and try to win. And that was a very much an experience that I will never forget, seeing her falling apart. And right now everybody is wondering whether or not she will be able to return to the stage, to the court, to play again. So for whatever reason that young woman fell apart, is it because that she has she has that, I don't say mental illness, but she, we have to realize that if she cannot play yet because of something, the pressure, that could be something another player can use against her, because as soon as they get her to make mistakes, then she will not be able to recover, then the other player can just go ahead and win the game. I hope that's not the case, but from what I see the last time, it was really painful to watch. And although she inspired, she has a tennis, you know, she had a pair of sneakers that she had a Haitian flag on one side, her Nike, she has a Haitian flag on one side and a Japanese flag on the other. Turbo women's tennis shoes for the 2021 U.S. Open in New York. So you can imagine, of all the things that she's trying to do, and she's trying to be strong, to watch her falling apart, you know, like that was very, very difficult for me as well, because I hope that she does. I was hoping that she will do something that will make her feel stronger, but she couldn't recover. And so it happens. And apparently, I will not have Dr. Finolia with me tonight, but since we are approaching the end of the program, let me give a shout out to the program here. You know, this is the, starting next week, the Tuesday, the 12 weeks, starting 9/14, the culminary performances of this, the Immigrant Experience Remembered and Imagined, hosted by Carol Rousseff, who is the theater director. It's a program that they're recording now, Tuesdays and Thursdays from 5 to 6:30 at the Claverack Free Library. Participants will explore and discover their own, their families, and their, each other's immigration histories and experiences, expressing themselves creatively through poetry, narrative, improvisational monologue, dialogue and action, music and movement. Participants will bridge their divides by delving into their commonality of their shared histories and experiences. These are the challenges, discoveries, and joys in making a new home in America. As participants become an ensemble of theater artists, their culminating live performances will express their particular take on the immigrant experience, remembered and imagined. I hope that you can join them, and registering on the email at the Claverack Library, or you can send a website, claverocklibrary.org, or you can email them info@claverocklibrary.org to register, or for more information. Claverack Library is located on Route 9H, and it's in Claverack, New York. And their number there is 518-851-7120. 851-7120. As we are approaching the end of our program, don't forget that you are listening to a program here funded by listeners listening to listener-supported radio. And so if you have any support, you want to continue to support this program on the air and to support WGXC and all the other performers, and giving us a voice, a platform to address the needs of our community, we help you and we thank you for all that. And you can make a check payable to WGXC and mail it to care of Wave Farm, 5662 Route 23, and it's PO Box 13, Accra, New York, 12405. You can always send an email to info@wgxc.org, and the number to call is 518-622-2598, 622-2598. And of course, for your feedback, you can always send your feedback to feedback@wgxc.org. We love to hear from you. If you have any suggestions to a program, to a show, or to an issue you want to address, you want to know more about, or a music you want to hear about a particular artist, Haitian artist, just let me know. Send me an email, info@wgxc.org. And at the same time, there is a line, feedback line, 518-291-9492. And it's 90.7 FM, New York State Upper Hudson Valley Community Radio. And of course, you know, I'm Carleen Murphy, your co-host this afternoon. And I hope that you can always contact me. There is an organization here. And then I told you, next Thursday from 8 to 11 at night in Catskill, DJ Neva is having a fundraiser as well for Haiti. And so it is there's more information on her DJ Neva's website on Facebook, and you can also check her IG, the Instagram, and mine would be up too. So, you know, we are there for you, and you have the information everywhere you go, you will have it. And so we have this, you can always email me at hcdpinc@yahoo.com. Oh, look at Dr. Finolia. Oh, my God, Dr. Finolia, I'm sorry. we are about to end the show. Yes, I'm glad that you can make the last minute, because we're approaching the end of our program again. Oh, boy.
The car, it was overheated.
Oh, I'm so overheated. Well, you have to be careful for overheated cars. Well, yeah, Dr. Finolia, I can't keep you. Yep, happy Sunday, and I hope that you can come again. You can call us earlier next week.
No problem. Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much to hear your voice.
Yeah, you too.
That you don't forget us. You there. Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you.